Hello, this is Truth Be Told Transformation, and I'm Bonnie Burkert, here to share tools for transformation to live your highest truth. What's true for you? What's true for me? I'm going to say what's true for me is energy, is understanding energy and working with one's personal energy to get through any situation, physical ailment, other stresses, communications with others. Understanding your energy will help you know how to respond and then some. So today I wanted to speak with a guest who's an expert at this, and I can't wait to hear how he approaches wellness through energy work. Welcome, Alan Pratt.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's awesome to be here.
Welcome to the Truth Be Told Studios in beautiful Burbank, California.
Yes, it's exciting to be in Burbank. I love it. We're right around the corner from Warner Brothers. I think it's very cool.
Right, right, exactly. So Alan and I met at the Parapod Festival, so I'm going to take a moment to talk a little bit about that. And it was a first-time ever event, and all the Truth Be Told hosts, Tony Sweet, Robert Hensley, and myself, we're really excited to meet so many people in person. And Alan has found his way to the Santa Clarita event from Florida, I think is right.
I'm Miami and New York based, and I have been working my way across the country for the last year. I thought it'd take a couple of months, but everywhere I stopped, I ended up working.
Right.
I spent 3 months in Boulder, Colorado, and then I got here in November, and I have been bouncing around between San Diego and LA and meeting so many awesome light workers, including this tribe. And Sheena Metal interviewed me on her radio show, and that's how I found out about the Parapod Festival. And the moment I saw the banner, the poster for it, I was like, oh, I have to go to this. And it was a very excellent event. For this to be a first year for a festival, or what I would call a conference, it's a conference,
yeah,
festival. I thought every detail was handled truly excellently. And I'm going to use the word classy, right down to the awards that were given at the awards presentation. But I mean everything from the choice of the venue, the fact that you could go outdoors, because this was a very high vibrational gathering of people. And Bonnie and I were talking before we got on the air. We were at the Conscious Life Expo. I was at the Conference for Consciousness and Human Evolution,
oh, yeah,
in San Diego in January. And there were a lot of big hitters there, a lot of big names, and it was a very large crowd. I got to tell you, the vibration, the gathering of people at the Parapod Festival, it was, I'm going to use the word intense. It was a little more, and this is on a high vibrational, such that,
yeah,
I had to step out a couple of times and take a few breaths of air because it was such a high level of, I want to say frequency or energy, which is what we're going to talk about in a moment. But I just want to say I observed like everything from the signage to the good-natured assistance, the people who were volunteering, and the speakers, the speaker lineup that you all had for a first year was just off the charts. And so I'm delighted to be joining you here today in the studio.
It's exciting. Yeah. Thanks for anybody who's listening that happened to have been there. It really means a lot. And again, you know, just keep an eye on Parapod Festival. You never know how things will evolve into the future. But the important part is the community. And that's what we're doing here. It's about the conscious community and how we can share different healing modalities to just feel good. Things are intense out there on planet Earth. Alan, please help us know how we can be calm, positive, bring through that energy. How can we stay well and clear through our own resources?
We can all move energy. We can all be healers. We can all clear ourselves daily. We can activate each other. We have so many paths to get to access our power. And I believe that Spirit has had me walk a very particular path in order to give away to the world, to as many people as I reach, the fact that it just kind of happened for me without a lot of training. And I think if the masses are going to become energy workers, healers, it ought to be accessible you know, the greatest access is through it's through direct contact with nature.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
It's through feeling. It's through movement. It's through expressing yourself.
Okay.
It's through cleansing the body. It's through proper nutrition. It's through singing and dancing. It's through any expression of love.
Yeah.
And when I say connection with nature, I mean getting out and hugging the trees. And, you know, and just it's all of that is what has activated me more than any courses that I've taken. And I bow to all teachers of all modalities. And I believe that if you have the time and the resources and you feel drawn to a modality or 10 modalities of healing or transformation or psychic intuitive work, then go for it. Spirit guided me to get a couple of Reiki certificates. I got a Reiki certificate when I was 26 years old. I'm going to tell you how I got into healing because I was a I'm an example of a miracle healing. My partner died of AIDS when he was 33. I was 26. I had what was called AIDS-related complex. So it was beyond HIV, and I had all of the symptoms that my partner had except for the cancer. I forget the name of the kind of cancer associated with AIDS. And the pneumonia, the PCP that was killing people.
Yeah.
And when my partner died, I actually had three spots of the KS, Kaposi sarcoma. That's what it's called.
Right.
Three of these black spots right on my spine. And I thought, wow, they're going right for the spine. They want to get in there and get me. You know. And I wouldn't say that I was walking a strong spiritual path at the age of 26. I was not enlightened.
Well, we're curious at that time. It's more you could start to really...
You know, I was being an actor and trying to make it in New York, and then we were both sick. And but I remember just looking up at the sky and saying, no, I'm not going. You know, I've got something to do. Don't know what it is, but it's important. And I'm going to... And I will learn my lessons, but not this way. Or I'll learn what I need to learn from this, but not die doing it, you know. And I was well within a year with no kind of medication of or
incredible.
Anything.
And what did you do steadily through? I mean, were you meditating?
Well, I think,
to what extent did you change your diet?
Well, I got to say, at that age and at that time, it happened so quickly. It was literally, I was healed by the angels without any of those practices. And I was trying a little bit. I mean, when my partner got AIDS, I think the book was called Fit for Life at the time. That was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I remember that.
Just do fruit till noon and then, you know, not mixing your carbs. You know, and we tried, but, you know, I was a food binger, an alcoholic, and a sugar addict.
Yeah.
And so, rapid change did not occur. And so I was saved by the angels. I got to say, around the age of 47 or 48, after I left my 25 years in New York City and went back home to West Palm Beach, Florida, I went to a psychic circle. And the woman did not know me. And after the circle, she said, I got to tell you, the moment I looked at you, I saw AIDS stamped across your whole body. Mm-hmm. And spirit said... she said the angel said, no, we removed it.
Interesting.
And so I got that confirmation decades later that it really was a miracle healing. And I think this is the path of some healers. And so what happened right after my partner died, I was led to the big healing circle in New York that was formed by Louise Hay.
Oh.
It was out of Louise Hay's workshops for people with AIDS. And it literally went from someone's living room with 5, 10, 15 people. And by the time I joined it, it was 200 to 300 people every Tuesday night.
Incredible.
And we were doing it on like nightclub dance floors and then moving to a high school gymnasium. And, you know, whoever would host us, because they didn't want anything. You walk in the door, they had a couple bags, like a church that would maybe have a collection, you know, drop a $5 bill in there if you had it. And if you didn't, don't. And because there were so many people coming who were not just people with illness, but also nurses and doctors were coming because they were dealing with the AIDS crisis and it was hitting Manhattan so hard. So this was my opening to healing circles and energy work. And I love it that this big healing circle, you know, people like Ram Dass came. Ram Dass, Marianne Williamson, a lot of, you know, I probably didn't know who people were who were coming at the time because I didn't wasn't into the scene.
I was seeing Marianne Williamson lecture in New York around this time, by the way. So it's pretty...
This was 86, I want to say 87, 88. 80 to 90 was when I was really active with this healing circle for about 5 years.
Slightly later than that, but it's really interesting to look at this history and also have been there. I mean, you and I probably frequented some of the... It was called New Age. I mean, it was New Age stores, and I was a big collector of
Integral
crystals.
Yoga on 13th Street.
I lived really close to there.
Oh, sure. So this healing circle, every Tuesday night, we would break into groups of three. And so this was the teaching. The first time I ever went to a healing circle was we can all do this. And, you know, and it would be two person on one person for maybe 5 minutes. It was maybe a 15, 20 minute experience with some music, a sound healer of one kind or another. And so I love that. And I have rarely seen that since, where everybody does healing work in a healing circle and breaks into little groups, and there's just no question about it. So this was my natural belief from the moment I got introduced to all of this. But I had not handled my addictions or my I wandered away from all of that. And then I, at the age of 39, I finally cleaned up my act, became 100% raw vegan, got 100% sober, and then I started finding, it's interesting, spirit brings you things, you know, when you're ready, you know, one thing at a time, like clean yourself up and then we will bring you, you know, ayahuasca. I'd never heard of that. Vipassana meditation retreats. And so, yes, doing a 10-day silent meditation retreat. How powerful.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I'd like to try it. I think it would probably be hard. 10 hours would probably be hard for me.
Well, it's terrible. It's awful.
I mean,
don't
most
ever
people
go,
say but, that. But it's really
it's a love hate thing. Yeah. And if you're listening, dhamma.org, dhamma.org.
Okay.
There are many different kinds of silent meditation retreats. The reason I share this one is this is worldwide. This is the one that was originally. Came down from the Buddhas, I believe, and then was revived early in the 20th century, around 1900, and brought to the people in India. And then it became a worldwide organization. And the thing that I love about these Vipassana is that it's free. And is that you can't even give money to their organization unless you've done a 10-day silent retreat. This is, and what this is a testament to is how successful they are. They're supported by people who have gotten value out of doing these silent meditations, and so they give back, and it's still a growing worldwide community. There are retreat centers all over the world, and this is crazy. People do these retreats for up to 60 days, Bonnie. So, you know, and the second time, I only did it twice. The second time I did a 10-day retreat, I was a worse student than the first time, and I wouldn't have expected that.
Oh, right?
The second time I was like, oh, why did I do this again? This is awful. It's physically painful. It's emotionally confronting. It's boring. It's insanely boring. And then what's also in there is divine blessings and connection and genie. You know, when you get your rest of your life out of the way and really close your eyes and sit silent for a few days. What comes to you from spirit and from your own inner resources is surprising and amazing. And you're not even supposed to write anything down. You can't read anything, write anything, make eye contact with anybody. You don't speak. You even share a room with one or two other people. You never even make eye contact with them.
Amazing.
It's really wild. But
it feels like, truth be told, like, that's really getting to your truth, is when you get rid of all of this.
Thank you. That's an excellent way to contextualize it. Yeah. It is. It's truth be told. And yes, you see yourself. And when I checked in the first time, the guy at the front desk must have been around 80 years old, had long white hair and white beard. And he said, first time? And I said, yes. And he said, he said, you're going to get to know yourself in a way that you've never known yourself.
Yeah.
And I thought about that afterwards. He was right. And so meditation.
I was going to say, so let's bring it into some, because you gave a list of different things.
I did.
And I'm going to. And I was going to pull out meditation, because I think so many of us maybe struggle with that, that do we have a good enough meditation practice? Good enough, right? I mean, there's.
I'll talk about that for a moment for sure, because I was a human doing more than a human being.
Okay.
And, I was Mr. Go, 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 go. And the idea, I mean, I couldn't sit still for 5 minutes to meditate. And not only did the 10-day Vipassana meditation retreats really. You can just drop in once you've done something like that. I thought about that phrase earlier, drop in a moment. But even if you don't, I got to tell you, just practice. Practice, just sit down. And even if it drives you crazy and you can't stick with it, you do that for a few weeks every day for 10 minutes. Even if it's only 10 minutes, you'll get there. You really will. You'll calm down and you'll get into it. It's great to get meditation training. But again, like most of the things that I've learned, a lot of times it's just sort of happened through practice or been given direct from spirit or nature. And so I think that's what...
Yes.
Oh, and there's so many different kinds of meditation.
Yeah, and I was going
to
mention.
That's got to be mentioned. You know, not just sitting silent and quiet, but active meditation. All of the Osho meditations, jumping up and down and screaming just crazy stuff at a person in front of you and then laughing afterwards, ways of releasing. And then all of the Zen meditations. And I knew I was going to be on the air with you, so I was at the gym yesterday and doing my workout, because I think exercise is a powerful part, powerful tool of transformation, especially as a 63-year-old man. And I'm going to say this right now, is that although I had AIDS and was an alcoholic and had issues with food binging and sugar and all of that, I have not taken any kind of medication since I was 36. And I mean nothing, save for a car wreck where pain meds for 5 days, or, you know, here and there, so a little benign tumor removed. And they'll go, you want the pain meds? I go, yes, thank you. Yes, I do. You know, but aside from that, to have taken nothing in like, 27 years is just wild.
Amen. That is really helpful. Let us not forget breath in all of this, Alan.
Oh, I'm so glad you're bringing that up, because I thought I want to talk about everything from moving energy, mm-hmm. breath work, and yoga, because this is the modality that is coming directly to me. It's called Iouyzui. 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 I've been working with it for more than a decade. And what happened was spirit just began moving through me. And when I say spirit, I want to go down a list of this. And this is not in a particular order, because they can jump into you in all different ways. And I just go with whatever comes into me. And a lot of time, I don't even ask what it is or who it is, but the ascended masters, our ancestors, the plant spirits, our animal, all the creatures in nature can work with us and through us. So the animal totems, the crystals, rock, and what I call the crystal, rock, and mountain nation. Ooh. And then I say all the elements, the earth, and all the elements can work with us and through us. And then the gnomes, the elves, and the fairies, which are real, very real. I've lived in Southern Oregon in the woods with light workers, elders, who tell stories about meeting gnomes. And these are people who, when you feel them out, you go, they don't need to tell stories. And they talk about catching a couple of them before they ran into a tree. And it's like out of the Disney movies. They say, no kidding. So I have friends who see the elementals. I will add that word in as well. I have friends who take pictures because they'll show up for some people, you know, on camera if they like them, you know, like the little blue lights that are floating along the ground, things like that. There's so many forces of nature and what we call spirit. And then do not forget our star family.
Right.
Our so star
we're,
brother.
We're transcending planet Earth at that point. I mean, it's all coexisting.
We totally are. And everyone from ancient aliens, and I'll bet truth be told, because this is what the Parapod Festival did, and this is also what the Conference for Consciousness and Human Evolution did, is that they talk about extraterrestrials. If I start to cough, it's because when we speak truth, especially on camera and to an audience, it triggers a release. And as a light worker, a lot of the work I do goes deep and shamanic. And so I release for individuals and for groups or small crowds sometimes, a couple hundred people, the healers release for participants. And so if I start coughing, it's because of what we're taught. It's the conversation that we're having is causing an energetic. This is working with energy.
It's interesting. Throat chakra, right?
Totally.
Speaking your truth.
You speak your truth and nice. it triggers a release. All right, now where was I on this? Oh, Starba is what all these conferences and these master teachers and scientists are looking at is our histories of religion and spirituality and great masters that we call the ascended masters, and that when we look at images of them, we see them as human beings on the earth plane, but throughout history, our religions have titled a lot of these people as demigods, and then everyone from ancient aliens, and then going back. Eric von Däniken, and you know, looking at our tying in the religion and extraterrestrials, then you bring in energy work and intuitive work, and working with the elements, even things like changing the weather. I know light workers who I'm pretty sure when they tell me that they've caused a storm or brought rain. I mean, the rainmaker is you know, that was a Broadway play. That's very real. People who can bring rain and all of this. So it is all connected. And the time period that we're in now is tying all of this together. And I was not planning to follow in my father's footsteps, but my father, Bob Pratt, was a really well-known UFO researcher. And he died in 2005, a couple of years before Ancient Aliens was on, or he would have been on shows like that. And so I think it's interesting. I was not all that interested in my father's work. I respectfully read his books or listened to, you know, went to a few conferences that he spoke at. But the year after he died, my mother and I flew to Denver from West Palm Beach and sat at the head table at the MUFON conference with, you know, I sat right next to George Tisakalis, you know, George with the crazy hair. And it's the big wigs of the whole UFO world. And, you know, the funny timing in my life is that it was before I started having my own direct experiences.
Right.
And so it was like 2008 or 9. And so getting to both the modality and just the broad subject of working with energy, and specifically what I'm talking about right now is our star brothers and sisters. And then also I'm going to bring in plant medicine here. I was at my 36th ayahuasca ceremony in 2009.
Wow.
And it was in Miami. My hand started moving by itself. And so I'll just show you just what my hands do. And these are mudras. I did not know the word mudra when I started channeling this kind of
frequency.
For those
people that are listening, we've got the thumb and the middle finger kind of tapping
now,
each other.
So now if people study mudras or tapping, I want to say all of this can come directly to you. It's beautiful to study, but you can activate these abilities or be activated. And I'm an activator.
Yes.
But I get activated by everyone I work with. And I've been humbled 1,000 times. I will walk into healing events where I'm the center of attention, where I'm the conductor of the sound healing concert. You know, there's an ensemble of healers and my name is in the middle, all of that. And Spirit will have me walk into the audience and walk up to either a child or a grandmother, probably people who don't have training to be healers, and have me get down on my knees and bow in front of them. And I could tell you, 80% of the time, I didn't even have to say anything. And they instinctively know that they're to clear me or activate something for me before I then do my work with a group of people.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
These are the spiritual beings that we are in, if we get out of our own way.
So the ability was activated initially at a plant medicine ceremony. So I think that's an interesting staging,
okay,
you know, to point that out. And then... and then I started touring and being a professional healer. I did get a couple of Reiki certifications in 2009. And once my hands started moving by themselves, I thought I must pay attention to this. This is what, if this is just, and it was more extensive than what I had been trained. And what I feel is that what can come through us as an individual is probably going to be more extensive or broad in scope or richer or more diverse than what we will be taught in any single course. And again, I bow to all teachers because I am not one, except for getting a couple, really Reiki 1 and 2. That's it. I'm not even a Reiki master. What I am is an Iyo Ui Zui master, which again, what happened was after a while I said, well, what is this coming through me if my body is doing this? And then the voices started coming.
Okay.
I was actually at the 10-10-10, October 10th, 2010, Alan Steinfeld produced this event in New York. It was all the most famous crystal skulls in the world, and I mean pretty much like all of them. And then 500 people bring in their crystal skulls. You know, it was a really like this big crystal skulls convention and parade. And I got activated by all the crystal skulls there. And then I asked, like, oh, it was somebody there, and it was the Poncho tribe. Poncho, the world famous skull that disappeared in the back of a
this
is one of the famous 13 skulls has been gone since 2010. It was right after that event, but I connected with that tribe. There was a tribe of caretakers of each skull, and this one had a man who got on the stage, and he was part of the featured. He sang and spoke in light languages, and I had hardly ever seen anything like that. And then a week after the event was the New Life Expo in New York. And so they stuck around for that. And Spirit guided me into Central Park. This is wild how Spirit guides me. Spirit guided me into, I was on my way to a gym, like on 5th Avenue and 55th. I was walking down 5th Avenue, and Spirit goes, walk into the park right now. And I was like, I'm going to work out. And Spirit said, go into the park. And I get into Central Park, and I'm like, oh, I'm to spin with the trees. And this is on the subject of connecting with nature and hugging the trees. The first couple of years that I was a healer, they would take me out into parks all the time. And I would start spinning. And this is in Barbara Marciniak's book, Bringers of the Dawn, from the 90s. Huge bestseller about all of this ascension and transformation, tools of transformation. She had a whole chapter on spinning and letting nature...
Were you literally spinning?
Literally, like Sufi dancers.
Yes.
You know, without intending to.
Right.
And then doing it around trees. All of these things were activating me. And ultimately, I asked, well, what is this moving through me? And that's when I've got to finish this story about Central Park and
yes.
Poncho the Skull. Thank you. So I was spinning in the trees, and watch this. I literally stopped, and then I turned around, and Poncho the Skull was being held out in front of me.
Oh my
two
God.
Feet away by one of the caretakers. And I looked at him, and my body just started shaking. And he looked at me, and he just nodded and smiled. And I turned, and the whole tribe was about 100 yards away, and they waved. And then we walked over to them, and I said, I was guided to go into the park. And they said, we were on the Upper West Side, like 70-something. And like they said, we were told to go into the park. And we found each other from opposite ends of Central Park. And the guy who sang the light languages at the Crystal Skulls event said, Spirit is telling me to tell you to let the voices come.
Okay.
Let the languages come. And And with, I said, you know what? Just about a week ago, funny little voices started making, I don't know, funny little languages through me. He said, let it come. And now, maybe just a couple of years later, I was then singing and speaking in light language in healing events. And I became one of those persons who now tells people, Spirit's telling me, the languages are coming to you. Let it come. So I have walked that path of being activated and then passing it along to other people. So the light languages came and the body moves. And this is all part of the modality. And you can read about more about this on my website, alanpratt.net. There's a page about Iyo Ui Zui. But I got to tell you, at one point, I said, what is this? And I had a laptop in front of me and my hand tapped it out. Just tapped it out, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, it makes words. You know, there are a lot of vowels there, one consonant, a Z. And then I said, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, and it's interesting. Either Greg Braden or Bruce Lipton spoke about open vowel sounds in sacred words. Mm-hmm. The doctors talked. They all talked about the power of that om and that open sound, and even sacred words from different cultures. And then I was sitting there in that audience, and I thought, this is my modality, yeah. Iyo Ui Zui. That's why it's so open and has all these vowels in it. And so this is how this modality has developed in me. And I've given you somewhat of a list of the things that I believe have activated this ability in me. And so I'll go down the short list and I'm going to add a few.
Okay.
So I've talked about connecting with nature and fasting and cleansing and having a clean diet. And believe me, I don't always do it. I go off too many chips, nuts, crackers, and cookies, honey. You know, it's like, oh, you know, and then I'll get dirty, and I'll go, no, I know what it feels like to be super clean and to be a clear conduit for spirit to move through me.
You just feel lighter. Yeah.
You just do.
I think that's the
word. You just feel good. You know, and feeling good, then you can show up for your job as a light worker.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And so, fasting, cleansing, proper diet. And a lot of light workers, I got to say, don't talk about exercise and literally working out. And I think I move a lot of frequency. I move a lot of energy. And we're talking about moving energy today and tools of transformation. Working out is a major tool of transformation and maintenance, just self-maintenance. Again, I will say a lot of light workers that I know have not won the game. And we're over a particular age. We have, you know, we're still like, I haven't fulfilled my mission. I haven't reached the people, you know. And so I'm in my 60s now. And luckily, I got into it when I was 19. And I was a go-go dancer in New York.
Nice.
And I was an actor. And lots of jobs came to me because of my body. Because
your
vessel.
Yeah,
I walked that walk, and I think it was even more than that. I think Spirit wanted to have me walk this walk, and like it was kind of like a game, like do this and you'll get this job, and so
well, yeah. And Alan, you've got a lot of energy, so I mean, I think that the physical body must move to handle the amount of energy that comes through us. You, in particular, instance.
I'll pause here, and I've given Bonnie my bio, and I'll for the listeners, I will say I have success with multiple forms of cancer and dozens of other illnesses, everything from spinal injuries and people dropping canes, severe brain injury, chronic lung disease, Bell's palsy, shingles, a lot of that. So I've got that going on, I've been humbled. I've had more failures than I have had successes. You know, and that just must be acknowledged. But I've also had more, quote, miracle healings than most of the healers I have worked with. And I've worked with about 800 healers around the country because I do sound healing concerts or work in festivals. And that's when you tend to work with a lot of healers. But I've gone at it to work with healers. And I want to say I feel that we are on the verge of having all healers have more success with physical illness. I feel the timing is right. We are about to emerge as a stronger industry to rival the mainstream medical industry. And I feel that a key component to this is large healing events. I have been given this prophecy since I was the age of 36. Before I even got into it and hadn't even handled my own problems, a psychic said, you're going to tour the world in front of large crowds and heal the masses. And the first time I heard it, my voice just went, okay. and then the first few times you hear it, it's daunting. You think it's going to be me and a stadium full of people. Very right. Confronting to the ego and all of that. And then you think, nah, come on. And then as I got into sound healing and healing events, I realized, no, it's going to be 100 gong players and 500, crystal bowl players and 1,000 energy workers moving through a stadium of people. These are going to be massive. And out of this came a vision that I call Sacred Sing.
Oh, okay.
A Sacred Sing, and you can take a look at sacredsing.org. It's a single web page. And we've done, the largest events I've done have only been for 300 people, but I'm not the only healer who's gotten this prophecy about doing massive events in stadiums. I've had, because I speak about this at small healing events around the country, and a lot of light workers, a lot of healers come to my events because I'm an activator. They'll come up after an event and say, I've been told the same thing, mm-hmm. that I'm supposed to be in stadiums of people. And I'm like, keep breathing. We're going to do it together.
Yeah.
Right. And so, this is what I think we're on the verge of that. And I wanted to acknowledge all of that. As I said, that I have had all of these, about 25 or 30 real full on quote miracle successes. And as I was on the news in Miami in 2015 with some of my clients. So I've got that in that department. And then I'm a full on exorcist. And so I wanted to acknowledge this because you were saying how much energy I have. And yes, I have a lot of energy. I move a lot of energy. And I work with individuals and groups. And when I work with a group, whether it's me by myself, and I can do this by myself. I don't have to have an ensemble. I can have up to 50 people by my lonesome. And most of those people, when it gets to that point where I start saying, okay, open your mouths wider, stick out your tongues and start going, ah. And a lot of you are going to start coughing up some stuff like a medicine ceremony.
Wow.
A lot, and people, it gets to the point, I've had people cough up, spit up like an ayahuasca ceremony.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me that I'm like a walking ayahuasca vine. And so...
that's cool.
And one of my...
that's a compliment.
Reality, or thank you. I'm honored to have that that kind of spirit working with me, that kind of frequency moving through me. And again, I've walked the walk by drinking ayahuasca 63 times and working with other plant medicines and doing all the fasting and cleansing. I can tangent all this together, promise. But while I'm thinking about it, when I talked about connecting with nature, I talk about things like hugging trees and spinning, do like Sufi dancing in nature, sacred spaces, go to the mountain, go to the desert, go to the water, go into the jungle. And I did not realize spirit was doing this with me. I have been nomadic for most of the last 13 years, and I had no intention of doing this. And my spiritual teachers in Florida, before I left on my grand adventure, they both said it. They were like, live out of your car, meet the other healers, move to California, find out what this is all about. And I don't think I got the live out of my car part. I really just didn't want to do that. But that's the way it's gone. And I've had leases for up to a year at a time. And I live with lots of healers around the country. But Spirit has wanted me to walk this nomadic path. And it has included spending a lot of time around Mount Shasta, Harbin Hot Springs in Northern California, and many other hot springs as well. But by not living somewhere, I was always available. And they would just say in between festivals, go to the hot springs. Go to the hot springs. And what I realized is how cleansing. And this is in scriptures, and this is in many ancient spiritual traditions, is the water, the elements, dancing around the fire under the full moon, all of that. So I didn't realize that they were saying, going to the desert for me was Burning Man. And it just to get how sort of biblical this is, because people started telling me when I was 40 that I am a living embodiment of Paul the Apostle.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, hey, anything's possible.
I just met another one in Boulder, Colorado, and the guy told me before he knew about me. I said, I'd looked at my friends who introduced me to this 24-year-old in a raw food restaurant, very biblical, because that was part of what they were teaching, we were teaching back then, was that's the gospel of the Essenes, is raw foodism. Oh. And I believe that's true about what was going on 2,000 years ago. But I met this kid, and I looked at my friends, and I said, he was in the Bible days. And his eyes popped, and he looked at me, and he said, I've already been told I was Paul the Apostle. And my friends looked at me like, dude, that's your gig. And I was like, I said, no, I'm getting 100% yes. I know I'm not the only living embodiment of this, but people started telling me that that I was Paul when I was about the age 40. And so, you know, and I've never even read the Bible. I'm gay. When I grew up in the 70s, I was not drawn to. And I grew up Presbyterian, Unitarian, and then got into all sorts of New Agey stuff, as you and I discussed earlier, when I moved to New York and got all New Agey and
like
started going to everything.
Right,
so I've never read the Bible. And so when people started telling me this, and I've heard it several times from people who didn't tell each other to tell me that I was this person, but here's the deal. When I went out and did my first Burning Man in 2009, that's where I did my first exorcism. I was at Burning Man in the desert, and I was even like looking up at the sky laughing, going, how very biblical, you know?
Yeah.
I'm in the desert performing an exorcism. And I think it's interesting that we use the word performing with exorcisms. Performing, that's right out of the movie and Catholicism, and it's perform an exorcism.
Interesting.
So that was the first place that I performed or facilitated an exorcism.
Talking about some interesting energy there.
And my spiritual teachers, when I had not become nomadic yet, that was kind of what turned me into, I got to move to California, was doing Burning Man in the Nevada desert. And then I went back to Florida, and that's when my spiritual teachers said, hit the road. But they also said, what about doing work like this? Because this is what happened at this festival. And they both said, no, back off. Don't get near that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Bonnie, almost instantly I thought, I don't think so. I think if this is what comes to me,
okay,
I got through what happened at Burning Man fine. I said, that was a lovely housewife from LA whose friends dragged her to Burning Man. I mean, this is a woman who you would not see at Burning Man. And I ended up going to this woman's home. This was a lovely woman whose husband and teenage children were estranged from her because of the possession. And I want to talk about this for a moment. And this is still all about energy work.
Oh, absolutely.
It really is. Yeah. Because this is a sort of a booga booga topic for people. And there are healers who, when we do events, would like for me not to use words like demons or entities. It was very common to talk about all of this a couple hundred years ago, before the Industrial Revolution and the advent of hospitals and pharmaceuticals and the AMA and all of that. People went to the churches to get the demons. We did things like drill holes in people's skulls, you know, and so it has been my experience is that almost any audience, or I call them participants rather than an audience, in a healing event, most everybody has stuff to release. And I think it's, I planned on talking about Barbara Stone, the soul detective. Early on in my training, I went to a retreat center in Central America, and this healer was teaching workshops, and I've never seen anything like it since. Barbara Stone, the soul detective, works internationally, and what I witnessed, there were only about 20 people in this workshop. Anybody that stepped up to the front of the room, this nice, I want to say, she was in her 50s, maybe, it could have been around 60 at the time. I would say nice Jewish lady. I think she's Jewish, but I would say I'm characterizing her that way because she could pull the demons out of anybody, Bonnie. And it was lovely the way that she did it. She would, and people, you know, didn't know, but I don't think anybody believed that that was going to happen at the beginning. But by about the third one, people are like, I'll go. You know, let's see. Let's just find out. And she'd talk to them. And the every single person that got up, entities spoke through them. It was absolutely fascinating. She offered them a new job in the light. introduced them to the Archangel Michael. He's going to cut the cords now. We have a wonderful new job for you. And I witnessed this over and over, and I thought, this is... And then I did a workshop with her in San Diego a year later, and I witnessed the same thing.
So this helped activate your work?
It not only activated my work, but this was my education for me to look at a healing work and to look at the general public and say, hey, I think we all got stuff attached to us to release. Oh, this is important. When Barbara would get this one entity or this one voice to work with her through a human being and then come to the light, Barbara would then do a muscle testing thing and count how many souls had just been released from the earth plane to heaven. And it was in the tens of thousands, Bonnie. It was like, she go, 23,000, 24,000, 24,000 souls were just released. Now, I don't know. At the time, believe me, I was so much more skeptical than I am now. This was all so much more new to me. And I was like, what? To all of this? But now that I've been around, now that I have become a conductor of shamanic healing events, and seen thousands and thousands of people release entities. And I have literally, I mean, I worked with Jonathan, he wrote The Electric Jesus, and I can't think of his full name now. He used to work for Evolver and host the ayahuasca monologues in Boston and New York. He contacted me one day, and just called me on the phone, and I just picked up the phone, and I don't normally, you know, I don't trust that. I want you either text me or I better know who it is. I picked up the phone, and he was like, hi, do you perform exorcisms? Literally, I think that was his first sentence to Jonathan Talat Phillips, author of The Electric Jesus. Thank you. And he said, and my voice said, yes, I do. And inside I was thinking, I do. And he was three blocks away from me in Brooklyn, and he had found out about me from people in Costa Rica, and I ended up working with him. And so he's written a book about this. And so the going that deep with the energy healing, I want to say, is available to everyone. Doing this kind of work, activation work. Are we running close on time?
Yeah.
How much time do we have?
Bring it probably another four minutes.
Okay.
It's been an incredible path and healing. Hearing about all the many people that you've worked with that have helped wake you up to all of this.
Yes.
So, leave us with some final thoughts. You know, about working with you, and I don't know how it feels.
Tools of transformation, because this is what we originally talked about. Tools of transformation also include being of service in the community and having a project to make the world a better place. I meet too many people who take care of themselves, and spirit calls them dilettantes if they've got all of their stuff handled and are always going to the best yoga event and buying the next outfit and can afford all the retreats. You got to change the world. Got to get out there and be of service and be a systems buster if that's what calls to you. Intentional communities, tribal experiences. We've lost that in our culture. It's important to circle up with your tribe or your tribes. Find your tribe is a big thing in this time.
That's beautiful.
Intentional communities. You can look at ic.org as a website that lists all different kinds of intentional communities, eco-villages, ashrams, retreat centers. They're all different distinctions around gathering as a tribe for enlightenment and transformation, and the conscious festival scene, I think, is very important, like we were talking about earlier. Parapod and all the rest. I talked about Burning Man. There's so many greener conscious festivals, like the Gaia Festival, and things like Enchanted Forest that are so beautiful. And a website for that is festivalfire.com, F-I-R-E, festivalfire.com. So the tribal experience, ecstatic dance, any kind of movement like that, and any kind of sacred sing-along, from kirtan to karaoke, you know, whatever works for you.
So
open
great.
Up your voice, move your body, you will access your own healing powers. I call it Io Ui Zui. I say get on a mat and just do a combination of yoga, a little bit of dancing around, and breathing. We were talking about breath work.
Breathing.
you, spirit and nature will breathe you. If you just say, I want to move energy, I want to let spirit move through me, all those forces that we were talking about earlier, they will come into you. I think it's great to do it on a mat as what we call a yoga practice, but let it move way beyond that, and you will access something that is both way out there and deep within you.
Amen.
Amen.
Brilliant. Thank you, Alan. That's
Thank
so
you, Bonnie.
Powerful. We've been speaking with Alan Pratt, everybody, and give us your website one more time.
AlanPratt.net, AlanPratt.net, and it's pretty easy to find me on Facebook, Alan Pratt.
Fantastic. So great. Here for the Conscious Community, this is Truth Be Told, Transformation. I'm Bonnie Burkert. Don't forget to listen to Robert Hensley on his live show, Truth Be Told, Minuteman Report, every Monday at 3 Pacific, and of course, Tony Sweet on Fridays, 3 p.m. live for Truth Be Told. And if you speak Spanish, we also have Truth Be Told Español with Metaphor on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific. As we're here really just exploring all these different possibilities to live your highest and brightest life. Thank you. We love to hear from you. Thanks for sharing. And until the next time, namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you.